preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. If you're tuning in throughout the continent of Africa, the U.S., Canada, or worldwide online, we welcome you today to the program. Please visit us at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We'd love to hear from you. Find us on Facebook and also at Twitter at AG Radio 1. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we have actually this week a special treat for you. Probably a few months back, I think it was now, I spoke at a conference in Lake Tahoe for young adults who are really struggling with direction in life. Trusting the Lord in an Age of Uncertainty was the title of the conference. So we went through some wonderful things to help them think through the hard and changing times that they live, how to trust the Lord through all of this. Again, these are young adults who are really wrestling with life. If you have a young adult, somebody who you know, maybe it's your son or daughter. This is going to be a series this week that is designed to help them. So we hope that you'll use this. This is a blessing to you. You can find these right online at agradio.org. This first one is from Psalm 73, as I help them wrestle through the issue of why is life so confusing. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Well, I have been given the task of talking to you about trusting the Lord in an age of uncertainty. And that's a big subject. There's a lot we could do with it. I kind of wrestled with how to approach it this weekend so that it would be helpful to you and something that would be beneficial that you could take away. I have to think a little bit about all the struggles that your generations face, what you guys are going through, the challenges that you have. And when you talk about trust, it has to get kind of serious because it means that we're going to kind of dive into some of the struggles of life. Because I don't believe that you really can trust the Lord until you've kind of walked through some valleys and ditches and learn to trust Him in those moments. It's easy to say I trust the Lord when we're sitting at Lake Tahoe, right? This is awesome here. But that's not normal to life, is it? It's not normal to the struggles that we face. And I think you guys face particular struggles that other generations have not. And I think you know that. I mean, just look at the challenges that are happening all around us. I can't even watch the news much anymore. It's just so polarizing. Everyone's fighting. Everyone's angry at each other. No one's listening to each other. But there are major cultural shifts happening too. So you see this, that Christianity is on the out in this country. It used to be accepted, you know, what we do. We go to church, we believe in the Lord, we follow Him. There's a day coming soon where that may be totally outlawed. Who knows? But these are changing times in which we live. And I'm sure you guys all know that, and you feel the pressures living in it and how to think through it. And then you've got the own challenges with your own life, that nothing ever kind of seems to go the way that you planned. You're constantly facing things in what you think how life should go, how it should be, what I should do, and it never seems to work out that way, and therefore then we struggle with all that kind of frustration that where is this sort of power that I'm supposed to have being a Christian and believing in Jesus who is Lord over all, and none of this at times seems to work. It just doesn't seem to work. I mean, that's a real struggle you guys go through, and I understand that. I've been there. I go through that. So I'm going to talk to you about trusting the Lord in an age of uncertainty, but I'm going to first say up front, I don't do this well, and I'm a pastor. I'm with you on this. This is tough business to trust the Lord, and it's something that He has to help us with. Obviously, He's given us His Holy Spirit. But I want to be honest with you, and I want to look at some particular passages that show that the Lord is working in the most interesting and unexpected of ways. It's surprising how He works, not in the ways that you would think He's working in your lives, how we have it all mapped out and planned. So how do we trust Him when life doesn't make much sense? We all have expectations. We have expectations of how it's going to go. We have expectations of what life should be and what I want to do.
And what happens when God's plan for me is much different than how I've planned it? Which is constant, that we're fighting that way. So I want to look at Psalm 73 with you. So if you have your Bibles, it's a well-known psalm. It's a psalm that I'm sure you've looked at some point in your life, but it's good to be reminded of exactly what's going on here. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease, they increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I've been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. Truly you set them in slippery places, you make them fall into ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors, like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you, but for me it's good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. I would submit that if you understand this psalm and appreciate what he does in this psalm, it is a great path toward really learning how to trust the Lord, because he really is in the thick of it, and he's really going through something. I think you saw that there in verse 1, that he's kind of pouring out his heart. It's really intensely personal. The Lord inspired this for you so that you would realize that the very kind of struggles that you have of trying to figure all this out, and when none of it makes sense, here we are, we exist. The Lord made us. We're going through life. And yet, oftentimes, we're so perplexed by it all. He's going through the same thing, somebody whom God inspired to put down in his word for you. So notice here that in verse 1, he says that, you know, God is good to Israel. He's good to all of his people, to those who are pure in heart, but not so for me. I don't really think God's very good to me. See it there? My feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. So this is deep struggle with God. It's real struggle with God. He's found something in life that he just cannot understand, and it's really thrown him. And I think this is the sort of thing where, you know, as we go through life, that, you know, as I said, we think that trusting is on the mountaintops, but I think this is the real struggle that is outlined for you guys to think about here. How did a man who comes to this kind of point and goes through this kind of hardship, how did he ever get out of this, and how did he ever learn to trust the Lord in the circumstances of life? And that's what he begins to tell us here. You'll notice he says, I almost slipped believing. This is what he's saying. I almost slipped believing. You know that the church right now, your generation, are leaving the church in record numbers. A lot of them are just saying, this Christianity thing hasn't worked for me. I've been brought up in it, or I've been raised in it, and, you know, it's been forced on me, we hear, and therefore, you know, I'm done. You know, so this is what we're seeing in record numbers right now of what people are facing. And this is somewhat similar to what this young man, Asaph, is saying here. What did he face? Well, he's really struggling with the goodness of God. He's come to this kind of crisis of faith. It could be a sudden tragedy. It could be a sudden series of events that have thrown him. And I think he describes it here for us. But we often look at it that way. But I don't think that's exactly what we should do with this passage. This particular passage is helping us to say it's not always some bad thing that happens to me or despair. It is really the sort of questions that we often struggle with is, I don't get how any of this is working. Where am I going? What am I doing? What is God's will for me? What is his plan for me? And the reality is I don't see that there's much of any of that working out. Doesn't sound like there's much plan at all. This is the sort of struggle that he's having. So it really comes down to this question, and you'll see where it's going to take us here in a minute. This question of, does God even really care? Does God even really know me? Look at all these people who exist. Look at this big world. Does God even really think about me? Does God really care about me? This is the sort of thing that I think happens often when we go through these kinds of crises. And then what do we do in these moments when life is not working out the way that we think it should work out, or things are not happening the way that we think it should happen? We begin to question the Lord, and what do we do? Well, if our circumstances are not right or it's bad, we begin to try to solve these problems ourselves. Now, we're always on the lookout for something better in life. There's always something more. This is how we live. This is how I've lived my whole life. In other words, I've had the most difficult time to be content right where the Lord has me. I haven't learned that. So I'm constantly looking for something better, jumping to something else that will satisfy and bring me some sense of fulfillment in life due to this frustration. This real frustration that I'm going nowhere, and none of this makes sense. And at times, everything is backwards. Everything is backwards to how we think Christianity should go for us. That's what's going on here. Notice his particular struggle. You see it in verse 3, where he says, I was envious of the arrogant when I saw their prosperity. I'm looking out at the world. I'm looking at what's going on in the world, and you know, they don't seem to have any of these problems. Here I am, a follower of Christ. Here I am, I claim a Jesus who lives and reigns and was resurrected from the dead and is seated, and everything is in his care. And, you know, I look at them, what's going on with them, they don't worry about a thing. I mean, they're living. They go to their deaths with no fear at all. They accumulate. It's all about prosperity with them. And, you know, I'm looking at all of this thinking, everything's backwards. None of that's working out for me. None of it. But it is for them. See what he's doing? So he's moved now to look at the circumstance, whatever's going on in life, and he's looking that way. And he's saying, that looks a lot better. That makes more sense to me than this. Everything is backwards to how I know it should go. And this is so, I think, such an important point because, you know, we believe in this doctrine called providence, that God controls everything and that everything is working out according to his perfect plan and that he's orchestrating. Nothing's happening by chance. He's in control of all this. He knows everything. He determines and he's our keeper. And yet, this is the reality of the struggle of us, but not them. They fill it up. They have life full. Look at these people. They're making millions on what? Doing the most trashy, dirty things you could possibly do in life with your life. Millions. But you see, they don't have a worry about a thing. Their lives are full. They have everything their hearts could wish. And it seems like they go to their deaths with no fear. And we as Christians look like a scared bunch in this world. You know, we're constantly trying to figure this out. We're torn, ripped this way and that way. And we just don't even know how to fit into all this. We just don't. So we're the ones in struggle. Right? Everyone, and so you see what he's doing. He's looking and everyone seems to have it better than me. Now, what do you think this is doing to trust? I'm leading you here a little bit. As you survey and you begin to think all these frustrations with life, what do you think it's doing to trust? You know what trust is. By the time we're done, I'll have that hopefully fully defined for you. But he goes on and he says all these things. The grass is always greener for us elsewhere. I'm always looking over the fence to change something. I always have an idea of how I can achieve this happiness that I know I haven't found yet. This is our struggle. It could be in anything, you guys. It could be in your job right now. It could be in your church. I could go through the whole thing. Grass is always greener. It doesn't matter your circumstance. Grass is always greener elsewhere. This is what we struggle with. And then when nothing seems to go according to plan, what happens toward us? To be a little personal, I remember when I was in college, I really thought I was doing the will of God. And I met this gal, and we were serious. I first didn't really like her that much, but then I fell for her. And I put a ring on her finger. But I knew she wasn't really walking with the Lord. But I didn't know what I was doing either. So I kind of pursued this, and I was willing to marry this gal thinking, well, I was doing this missionary, you know, sort of dating thing. And you know what happened? She dumped me. It was the most painful thing I'd ever been through in my life. I mean, it was like a freight train hit me. I was dumped, and I remember being so frustrated with the Lord. I was following your will, I thought, even though I wasn't. I was playing what I wanted to do. And it was shortly after that the Lord surprised me by sending, in the most unexpected of circumstances, not me trying to go find my wife, him placing a gal right in front of me who our parents walked us together in strollers after college. It was God's providence. But I went through the same kind of period of struggle with, I don't know where I'm going, I don't understand this, I moved back to Visalia after I got dumped, of all places to go back to. Right? And the Lord provided for me. But what I'm saying is notice what this is the real struggle that he's going through here. None of this is working. And now, since he has begun to survey over there and he's moved away, now he's bitter. He's bitter. At who? God. Ultimately, this is one of our great challenges in life. We get bitter. This doesn't seem to be going as planned at all. And that's not a path of trust, is it? As a matter of fact, you notice what he says there? And toward the end of it, he says in verse 16, when I thought how to understand this, when I thought how to try to figure all this stuff out that makes no sense in life, this was a wearisome task to me. What he's saying there is that this was too much. I got to a point of real break. I was going to go one way or the other. I'm either going to abandon this or I'm gonna come back to the Lord. This is where the man is, okay? So I had to get back. And this is why I chose this particular psalm. What is now happens is one of the most beautiful things in all the Bible. I mean that. This is one of the most beautiful things in all the Bible. Notice what he says here about himself. When he begins to look and he begins to think about things properly, look at verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. That's got to be one of the most beautiful statements you could just pass right over, isn't it? You hold me. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whoa. I mean, does it get better than that? But you didn't see any of that. He didn't see any of that when he began to survey life like this. Wait, the reality is, I'm called to trust the Lord. But the Lord just made a promise right there. Something that Asaph was God inspired and put down for you to realize that here's the real truth of the matter. The real truth of the matter is that the Lord is upholding me and I'm always with him. And he's always with me. It's a promise that absolutely encourages us that the Lord is always guiding and always keeping us and always, you know, this is the heart of the conference verse is Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. right? Lean not on your own understanding. Here's the problem. This is the problem of Psalm 73. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. And what is his promise to you? He'll direct your paths. That's his promise. God doesn't lie, by the way. So notice here then that this is where he's starting to come. There's a great return in his thinking. Everything's been shifted now. And see what I'm talking about? Trust. If I was here with Psalm 73, I know at some point in life you're here, you may be here now. This is the kind of thing that we have to realize, you know, what is the path that brings us to true trust in the Lord? And Asaph is capturing that. And verse 25, I would submit, is the most important in the whole psalm. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my life, of my heart, and my portion forever. Your body may waste away. Your flesh, your body, your strength may fail. It may in this life. It will at some point. But here's the truth of the matter, right? The truth of the matter is you have him. The maker of heaven and earth, who created everything, who called all this into existence, who knows all your thoughts, who knows how he formed you in the womb, is telling you that he cares about you and that he's guiding you. And that if you have him, and you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything. And you see, this is where we have to come back to who really is rich, who really is happy. What does he say about the people who don't have the Lord? It's sad, isn't it? They're going through this life, and they're pursuing all their dreams. They're getting their fill of it all now, and this is their heaven. This is it. But that will be pulled out from under them in a minute. And then what? And he says, you see, it all changed for me when I went into the sanctuary. What was in the sanctuary? There was the gospel. There was a proclamation of the gospel. There was a proclamation of Christ. There's a proclamation that there was a provision for forgiveness of sins, and that the relationship between you and God is reconciled by him. Do you know that's preached to your whole lives? What's that worth? What is that worth? You have the best news ever given to you, and he's going to guide you through your whole life and afterward receive you to glory. This is the promise of the gospel. So where do I want to start in this weekend? It's this. Trusting God is not tied to my ideas, right, of what this life should be. But it's realizing what I have and what I should be enjoying right now, no matter how this is playing out. You understand that? That's where I want to leave you. Here, just to start this weekend. Trusting God is not tied to my ideas of what life should be. I'm taught to pray, not my will, but whose will be done. But to learn to find satisfaction in him, trusting him that he is guiding my life, that he has a path marked out for me, and that after he has guided me through this life in the path that he has promised to receive me to glory because of Jesus. That's the gospel. Okay? So you see why we have to go to a psalm kind of like this to begin to talk about trust, because so often we can't even see past the ceiling to go outside and look, there is a God, right? And once we're able to see clearly, I think you're going to be able to see what you really have, but also to right now in life begin to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his purpose for you. He made you to glorify God. But we don't talk a lot about the other thing, to enjoy him. It's our biggest problem. We're not enjoying him because often we're fighting against him. But that doesn't change his disposition of love to you.
Thank you.
you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.